Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wind's Women of Wisdom, everyone. Excuse my voice as I am recovering from deviated septum surgery. So, excuse my voice. But today I get the easy end. I get Kelly Fitzgerald, who is a phenomenal life coach. She also runs Blog Talk Radio, so I believe she co-hosts that. So I get the easy end. I get to ask all the simple questions, but yet we don't have to explain what's going on here. So just excuse my voice, and maybe it will be a nice change after I get this cast off. I don't know, but I'm hopeful it will be. Anyway, I'm going to bring Kelly on and see what she has to say. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And my first question to you is, why did you start your business?
You know, I really got to a point in my life where it was more important to me to be of service to other people, to help other people, than it was to continue the, I think we all get kind of sucked into, we have to make money to live. At some point, it became more painful for me not to help people than to continue what I had been doing. And I still do own a real estate company. I have been an entrepreneur my entire life. But over the last couple of years, it's just become more important to help people. So really, that's kind of why I started doing what I do, is just to be of help.
Well, what was your, that being said, what was your breaking point?
You know, I had gone through a really, really dark period in my life. I had gotten really to the point where, quite honestly, I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue living or not. It was a very, very dark period of time. A lot of people refer to that as sort of a dark night of the soul, where you realize that everything you have been doing in your life didn't really make you happy, wasn't really fulfilling. You're just sort of going through the motions. And that's what it was. I literally woke up one day and said, you know, look, I am meditating, I am writing, I am doing all of these things that people say you should do to find inner peace and happiness, and it wasn't working for me. So I knew at that point I had to make a change. If I was going to continue living on this earth, I was going to make a change. And that's really what it was. I had gone through a number of illnesses. I had gone through a very, very abusive first marriage, and I had just come to the point where I just knew things had to change. And what came out of that, besides my book, was the really deep need to help other people get through their own dark periods of time. So it was sort of my awakening, and I really don't like that term. You hear people all the time talk about their spiritual awakening, and I really think that term is way overused. But for me, it was sort of finding myself and finding my purpose, my why am I here.
So explain to us a little bit about the book. I mean, I didn't even know you had a book.
My book has been out for about a year now. It's called When on the Road to Enlightenment, Don't Forget to Take Out the Trash. And it's about how we sabotage ourselves. You know, when I was going through all of my, I say now, fighting my inner demons, I was wondering why I couldn't find that missing piece. And it occurred to me that it was because I was holding on to the past. I was holding on to the old pain. I was holding on to those things that hadn't worked. And when you continue to try and live your life in the past, you're not going to get very far because the past is gone and you can't do anything about it. So that's the trash that in my book I talk about, taking out your trash. It's letting go of all of that old stuff, the pain, the sense of I should have done this and I did that instead, the forgiving of yourself. Let go of anything in your past that you still think about all the time. That was my trash. And once I took out my trash, I got to the place where I found that inner peace that I was looking for that had eluded me. So, yeah, that's the book. It's on Amazon, and it's also on my website and a number of other places. So, yeah, that's the book.
And weren't you involved in empowering women of social media with me at one point, weren't you?
Yes.
So did you write your own book based off being involved in that book?
No, I actually had written my book before I had become involved in Empowered Women of Social Media. So, you know, it had already come out before the first Empowered Women of Social Media book did.
And how many books have you been involved with now?
I have one of my own books. I was involved in two of the books with Empowered Women of Social Media, and I'm actually compiling another book written to help people who have lost someone through suicide. So that book will be out this fall. And that one is called Beyond the Loss, Breaking the Stigma of Suicide. So I write all the time.
Why did you decide to tackle a tough subject, Jesus? Why did you decide to tackle that tough subject in an anthology? My goodness.
The suicide, I think we need to have conversations about subjects that are difficult to talk about. And suicide has actually impacted my life a couple of times, but I lost someone who was very dear to me that I really tried or thought I was trying to help. In retrospect, I did not really understand the pain that person was in. So I lived after that suicide, I lived my life in guilt for not having done more or not having been more aware. And that's part of the trash that I had to take out, was coming to terms with I did everything that I could have done. And I think part of the reason that I wanted to write this book is because so many people, and I've met so many people through life coaching, through my workshops, and even people who have contacted me through reading my first book that have also lived with that guilt. So the purpose of this book is to get people to talk about mental illness and depression and losing someone through suicide and what that really feels like and how it really does impact families forever. There is no really, at this point, there's no open dialogue for people who feel like, you know, I should have done more. And that's why I'm writing this book. I'm writing it with four friends, so there are five of us who are contributing stories, and each co-author has been touched in some way by suicide. So it's an important topic, and I think more people should be talking about this very difficult subject.
And from your perspective, do you think we don't talk about it enough?
Absolutely, we don't. You know, there is such a stigma about suicide and in mental illness in general. I think far more people would be willing to come forward and say, hey, I need some help, if it were more, I don't want to use the word acceptable, but if there were more opportunity to come forward without fear of somehow being run through the mud. I know in my own darkness, when I was seriously contemplating suicide myself, what brought me through it was simply somebody saying, hey, look, I can see you're depressed. Let's talk about it. And that really, we need to talk about it more. I can't guarantee that we would stop someone who has already made that decision, because I think once it's gone to the point of, if somebody has truly decided to end their own lives, they will make sure that they're successful. You hear about suicide attempts all the time, and I think in some part of that individual, maybe not in every case, but in many cases, some part of that individual did not really want to die. They just didn't know how to get help. So by talking about it more openly and more honestly and just more lovingly, I think we can help people get through that. And the survivors, I think we can certainly help them get through it a lot easier, because there's a whole lot of pain. And I was reading something that someone sent me the other day that said the survivors of someone who has committed suicide are more likely to do that themselves, to make that choice. So definitely we need more dialogue about that.
Isn't that unbelievable that we definitely need more dialogue about that? Because we don't, it's a taboo subject. We don't want to talk about it, but yet we have to.
Right. Right. And it's just, it's a subject that's really difficult to talk about, much like, you know, racism or religion or any other difficult subject. We need to find a way to have an honest, open dialogue, because people are losing their lives. You know, we are losing valuable people, very much loved people, because we haven't had this discussion.
So for people who are listening, who will be listening in archives, or who are listening live now, what would you say to people who may be stuck in that position or just want to write a book?
You know, I tell people, find someone to talk to. I've had coaching clients who have literally told me their dog was their best therapist because their dog didn't judge them. So find someone to talk to, even if it is just your dog, you know, to get it out. Because what happens is a lot of times we kind of bury those things. We kind of bury all kinds of stuff and don't talk about it because we fear what someone else is going to think. Find someone to talk to. Write it. If you really can't find someone that you trust enough, write a letter to yourself. Just get it out. Download whatever is in your heart and mind onto a piece of paper. That is very cathartic, just the act of writing it down. And don't be afraid to get help. You know, if you are truly, truly thinking about ending your life, please call the suicide hotline. They are everywhere. You can find them everywhere. You know, there are so many people. There are, you know, clergymen. There are friends. There are all kinds of people that you can reach out to. But please, please, please know that people love you and they will help you if they know what you need. And so often when we get into a depressed state, even if we aren't clinically depressed, we sort of go down that downward spiral. You know, we kind of, it feeds itself, and we get point where we think that the world is better off without us, and that's not true. I know I thought that for a while. It's not true. Reach out.
No, it's not true, and God knows me. I have a network out to Yin Yang, and I reach out with the simple words of help me, and 9 times out of 10, people will come knocking at my door to help me and figure it out. So that's what Kelly's saying, is reach out to the closest person you trust, and then just simply write a diary or simply write a letter to yourself if you feel more comfortable with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, other than your business, what is your favorite thing to do?
You know, I like anything that takes me outside. I hike. I actually moved to where I live now because of the mountains that are around me. And I spend as much time as possible hiking, but I also have animals and cars, and you know, I have a lot of interests, but anything pretty much that takes me outside is what I love to do.
Oh my God. So you move specifically for Mother Nature?
Yes.
That is the first time I've been sick. Okay. I have now heard it all of a Women of Wisdom guest moving specifically for Mother Nature. Well, I guess she was pretty passionate about being outside. So what made you move for Mother Nature?
You know, I had lived in the Bay Area, and it's very congested, and I am always outside. I like to garden. I like, you know, walking my dogs and all of those kinds of things. And it really got to a point where I just was not feeling the Bay Area anymore. That sounds a little odd, but it wasn't where I needed to be. And I just needed more space around me, I guess, more than anything. So when I got the opportunity, my husband works for a large company, and he was offered a transfer, and we had a couple of choices. And when we came out here, I said, oh, look at these mountains. I will never find a more perfect view. And he said, okay, this is where we're going. So
it
sort of all worked out.
He'll be where? Santa Fe?
I'm sorry?
He'll be where? I'm saying he'll be in Santa Fe or where?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it was perfect. It was just perfect. You know, we built our house. I camped for 10.5 months building my house. It was an adventure.
Oh my God! And where are you based now?
Arizona. I'm in southeastern Arizona.
Oh,
it's I'm at about a mile high in elevation, in a very, very high mountain valley. So it's awesome.
That's a huge change right there.
Yeah. We went from sea level to a mile high. It took some adjusting.
Yep. Well, I'm based in beautiful Aspen, Colorado, but me just going back to sea level would take some adjustment. I can't imagine moving from sea level to Arizona.
It was sort of culture shock for a while. We really do live in the middle of nowhere. And that took some getting used to. I went from walking to the grocery store to driving 1 hour one way to the grocery store.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that would
you
take...
You get used to it.
That would definitely take some getting used to. And
yeah, it did. But the upside is I have a beautiful place now that I can host retreats, and that's what I'm starting to do next year is hosting retreats on the land that we live on. So it's all good.
That's lovely. So you got over the culture shock quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been here for years now, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, other than living with the land in harmony, what is your favorite book, other than your own books, or what is your favorite business book? I mean, it doesn't have to be business per se, but what is it, what makes you think and go back to as far as books?
You know, the book that I read that had the biggest impact on me is one that I actually have reread, and it's The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Every time I reread that book, I find something else in it that I missed the first time. It has helped me.
Okay. If I maybe ask my nose, I can physically read a book. Right now, I can barely look down at a phone. Right now, I can barely look down at a phone, let alone speak. And so, how has that book impacted your life?
I think more than anything else, it's concentrating right now. You know, for so much of my life, I felt like life was happening to me. You know, that I really didn't have a whole lot to do with how my life played out. I was sort of living my life according to what everyone else thought I should be doing. And when I first read this book, actually a friend of mine gave it to me. And, you know, she said, here, you need this book. I don't know why you need this book, but you need this book. And the first couple of pages, it was all about now. You know, the past is gone and the future is not guaranteed. So what you really have is right now, this very second. And as simple as that sounds, that had such a profound impact on me. I started really looking at my life differently. And if you're concentrating on being happy right now, right this very second, then you can pretty much get through anything. And that really did. Really, really had an impact on me. I think that's the recurring theme. Well, the book is called The Power of Now, so it makes sense. But really staying focused and learning how to be conscious. And it's really funny because now I teach that to other people. So it really impacted my entire life. I do what I do right now in huge part because of that book.
Oh, my God. So you're not kidding. You're not kidding. You changed your teaching philosophy because of that book.
Right. Right.
Oh, my God. So here you are living in the beautiful mountains of Arizona, and you're reading a book and changed your teaching philosophy based off of it.
Yeah, it really did. And, you know, I love what I do now. I tell people you can have what you want in your life. I actually am now living the life that I never thought I could have. And it is astonishing to me. Every morning I wake up and I am just thrilled to be awake for another day. It's amazing life. I really, really, truly do have an amazing life, and I'm very, very grateful for it. That's the first thing I do every morning is open my eyes and give thanks that I have another day.
Well, that's amazing to me, right there, that you're taking book philosophy and living it, living it fully, I should say, before the golfing attack, living it fully, I meant to say. And that's amazing to me. So explain to us how we can get in contact with you.
My website is www.winontheroadtoenlightenment.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can find Kelly with an IE Fitzgerald on Facebook or Win on the Road to Enlightenment. is also a Facebook page. And I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and I have Ibby Lane Press. I am just all over the internet. It's really
so
insane.
Just, as I said, as I've been telling my guests, and I'll tell them again, if you'll Google Kelly's name with IE, not my middle name, which is Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, but hers is with IE. And so if you just Google Kelly Fitzgerald's name, or Google my name for crying loud, we'll come up. We'll come up because I'm all over the internet, and I am just all over the internet and all over what needs to be done, and we'll come up, and we'll just figure out from there. Google's going to be your best friend to find both of us.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate Kelly being on my show today, and I appreciate all the Women of Wisdom behind Women of Wisdom, and I appreciate you guys putting up with my little recovery mold here, and I appreciate every piece of wisdom shared with me on Women of Wisdom. And I appreciate you guys for tuning in and sharing your wisdom with me and my listeners. And let's keep this ball rolling. Thanks to you guys.